smashing success.
We are so fucking pros.
The Brothers Geek we are! Welcome!
You are in the same room. We can't fucking punch you.
That is awesome! I love it!
Yes.
That was attempt at Yoda.
123 Yoda. Episode, who's it?
Who's a force ghost?
A force ghost. God bless. God bless. Hail all the force ghosts.
That was
hail,
force hail, ghost. Hail force ghosts.
Hail force ghosts.
December 21st it is.
Force ghosts and weird, like, force animated
spoiler,
dark side zombies.
Spoiler alert. Is Ben Solo a force ghost? Oh!
What's gonna happen?
Oh, damn!
It's a question
that
nobody fucking cares about.
Oh, my God!
Hello. We are the Brothers Geek. This is our podcast. We're the Schmaltz Brothers. I'm Patrick Schmaltz. Well, with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz.
Hi! I get to look you in the faces and tell you you're stupid to your face!
And then there's Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, how you doing?
It's the Christmas episode, everybody.
Christmas!
Holiday season! Live episode,
if you celebrate Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah.
Happy
If you celebrate Hanukkah? Christmas, happy Christmas.
You guys are coming in really, like, just firing out all cylinders.
We are
I want
excited.
To maintain this energy throughout
we
the podcast.
We are excited to be here.
So
I am so excited to see you.
Don't peak early is what I'm saying.
We
it's
are
like,
filled with the power of the force.
I will maintain, and I will climb. My energy will grow.
You are one with the force, and the force is
I
with
am
you.
100%. That's a quote from Rogue One, which we're not talking about because it's not part of the Star Wars saga. Get your shit together.
Wow.
Why is it not part of the Star Wars?
It's
Rogue One.
It's not part of the Skywalker saga.
Skywalker saga.
Okay. You're right.
Okay. So normally on these Christmas episodes, we do a year-end review. But instead, because of Rise of Skywalker coming out, we are doing a Star Wars one-shot because that seems more in line. Yeah, that seems more in line.
Well, you'll get our year in review in January.
Yeah.
Once the year is over, I always have a little bit of an issue with, like, we're going to do a year in review best of list that comes out on December 8th.
Yeah, because we all could die before the end of
the
month.
The year's not over.
Yeah.
Right?
There's more to experience
there
before
be.
December 31st is over.
I understand that the, like, television and film critics who are doing their best of have probably seen screeners of Little Women already, but
people,
we haven't.
But understand, people who are in television and film who work in those industries are fucking stupid.
Stupid.
It's true.
Yep. Stupid. Yep.
It's true.
Stupid. Except for Lauren Hisrick, who is the showrunner on
and Hannah.
The Witcher. She seems very smart.
And Hannah.
Hannah seems very smart. She works in film and
Hannah,
TV too.
I exclude Hannah from that list.
Hannah's
but
not
every,
an idiot.
Everyone else...
Idiot.
Involved in that industry.
Idiot. Schmucks. Top to bottom schmucks.
Great.
Bottom feeders. Mouth breathers.
But I love Hannah. Hannah is
Hannah seems great.
Is genius.
Everybody else?
She seems like a genius.
Anybody else?
Everyone
dumbasses.
Else who's involved in
she's
that industry?
Complete dumbass.
She's really good at picking boyfriends, so that's great.
It's good for her self-esteem.
Well,
thank
maybe
you.
Maybe previous boyfriends.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Coming in hot,
fired.
Brother.
Coming in hot.
I love you.
Let's talk some.
Okay.
Let's talk
okay.
Some
so I will say this. I will say this. We are going to go spoiler heavy.
Huge.
Spoiler heavy for
Huge.
Rise of Skywalker. So if you haven't seen it, we recommend
go see
you,
it.
You go see it
and then
immediately.
And
yeah.
Then,
stop yeah. it right now
yeah.
and go go
so,
see it.
So you have been warned
at your
you,
local multiplex.
We have all. Or your local Alamo Draft House, which only has one screen, but you can buy beer and eat food there.
That has one screen?
Do that, too.
Alamo Draft House, I think, universally only has
no,
one
no,
screen.
No, no, no. The one in L.A. That we go to has multiple.
Oh, really? Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got like eight. They're big.
You're both idiots. This is so great. I get to look at you both and, again, tell you to your face that you're idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Because I said, because I know things.
You do
multiplex.
Know things.
I meant to use that term.
Multiplex. That is a that
it's
is
ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous. That is a term that has only existed since like the mid 90s to now.
I'm old.
You are.
Okay.
That.
I am
so,
old.
So I
you
mean,
established
this,
that.
This is the
third gunshot that took you down yesterday during your run.
Oh my God, my calf hurts so much.
Did someone snipe you?
Oh my God, someone sniped me in my run.
Bit me.
It was like totally. It was totally out of a.
There you go.
It was totally out of a video game, dude. I'm running along. Snap.
Oh.
I almost
brutal.
Went down.
Is it something?
It hurt bad.
Is it something like really snapped?
No.
Oh, okay.
It just feels just,
it,
that.
It felt like I got shot.
Oh, Jesus.
It was that extreme
in
moment
like,
of pain.
Like
yeah.
You are not. Like you didn't like rip your tendons
no,
or something.
No,
okay.
But it was. It's in my calf, and something I have emergency alerts on this new watch I have.
Yeah,
you set up a alert system where it notifies people
if you're dying.
If you like collapse.
Oh yeah. Shit!
And so I've never tested it, and I didn't know the settings for what triggers an alert to go out.
Yeah,
and I've learned yesterday. What triggers an alert to go out?
It is so the tech works.
The GPS, it's a sudden deceleration.
Oh.
And so it is so sensitive, this watch is so sensitive, that emergency sort of system is triggered by a unbelievably quick deceleration
so,
and stop.
So it's not even like you have to hit the button like I've fallen and I can't get up.
No.
It senses that you've fallen and can't get up.
It was buzzing. The flaw
trying to like wake you up
the
from
flaw
your
in this
coma
yeah. It's like shocking you it's like trying to bring you back.
Well, the flaw in this system is that if you're not carrying your phone,
everything
it can't send the signal out. So if I don't carry, the reason I got this watch is I can listen to music because it you can download music to it.
Okay,
so I don't carry a phone.
I was gonna say you
have the big bulky
phone. You have a large phablet.
I don't have to carry this with me
when you run.
The problem with this emergency alert system is that it needs a signal.
Oh, no.
And so it kind of is a flaw.
Yeah.
This is not wirelessly...
It's not to the point where we're like full on not carrying phones.
We're not Tracy. It's
not completely... You still need your phone. It's just like it's a tool of the phone.
This is the next step in this generation of Garmin phones or watches is going to be... It will connect to a tower.
Yeah.
They need to add that functionality so that emergency contact stuff, because I'm sure that there's a huge population that will spend the money on this type of watch that they don't want to carry their phone anymore.
Yeah.
But they want to have that emergency system in case you get shot while you're running.
Yeah.
And you fall over. It will send out the alert. Like, it popped up on my thing and it said, we can't send the alert to your contacts because we don't have a signal.
Oh, geez.
Right. But it was a great test for. I know the system works.
Have you set up?
Because I stopped. I stopped like you couldn't believe it hurt so much.
So is this functionality like when you download the app to run this watch?
Yes.
On your phone, does it take you through the steps of setting up an emergency deceleration contact? Like,
It says you haven't set this up. You need to set this up.
Oh, that's cool.
I've had multiple Garmin watches.
Yeah.
And so it's the same app. They just keep updating the app.
Okay, I got you.
But when I connected this new watch to that Garmin app, it said the following setup things remain incomplete.
Interesting. Okay.
And so one of them was emergency contacts. And so I put in the email address and phone number of all my emergency contacts.
I wonder how that would work.
You're
would
on the list. You're not because you don't live here.
You don't live here. Does the text message go out, or like will I get an automated call that says this person
You will get a text message and an email.
Interesting. Yeah. That's cool.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was your tech report for episode 1, 2, 3.
I'm old and I was on a regular run and I injured myself yesterday.
I feel like this should have been like a gift.
It's only
idea
a strain. I think it's only a cramp / strain. So we'll see.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, that's good.
That is good.
Well, we're approaching Star Wars level tech. It's
we
pretty
are
good.
Really
yeah,
there.
I mean, right,
to
I mean,
bring us back around.
Next step with that is hyperspace skipping, like, you know, they do with the Millennium Falcon.
Hyperspace
skipping?
Cool.
Light speed skipping.
That was so cool. Okay, so, I mean...
If I had to pick, like,
there's
my a conception I have for this movie, it's light speed skipping.
There's a weird...
In terms of how fast this movie
there's
moves...
There's also teleportation of physical objects.
There is new force abilities
in this film.
Force
healing. Okay,
we're getting ahead
of
ourselves.
Hold on. The teleportation of physical objects is a aspect that is in The Last Jedi because he wipes his head.
Yes, and there's wetness on the glove.
So the connection between them is established.
He knows that they can do that.
Physical attributes of their environment,
not new,
can be transferred between their force lines.
You're 100% right.
There's a weird thing between them, and it's sort of like it and like even Luke projecting himself into that physical space, and obviously he's like. Transparent, but I feel like it's something to
he's
do
not
with
transparent. He's immaterial,
right? He's immaterial, yeah. But like something about their connection allows them to teleport objects.
They
to
build
each
on
other.
That theme through the entire film. Like they're polar.
They're
opposites
allowing
in a way.
This to happen.
Yep.
in some way.
Well, but they suggested, I mean, Snoke suggested that he was the one who was the bridge.
Mm-hmm. He started the bridge, but
they were wondering, how are we able to do this? And it's revealed that Snoke was doing it to her credit,
when we watched The Last Jedi on Tuesday in my apartment, or Thursday in my apartment, Hannah immediately jumped on the idea that at the end of The Last Jedi, Kylo Ren and Rey are in two physically different spaces at the end.
Yeah.
Snoke has been killed, and they still have their force bridge active.
Right. Very good.
So I did not immediately pick up on that.
Yeah.
But they have that active connection at the end of The Last Jedi.
That's really good.
And that progresses throughout Rise of Skywalker.
I'm happy that they carried that forward.
I think it's a great image between the two of them that their connection remained and it's so strong.
Let's start walking through this movie a little bit. The movie starts off with the dead speak.
Did you guys?
And the Emperor is somewhere on some planet.
Before we even get there,
yeah,
they did. Star Wars Lucasfilm did an event inside Fortnite, where it was a live event.
I don't play Fortnite.
I don't play Fortnite either. I was watching it live on Twitch inside Fortnite. They had a Star Wars event, and at the end of the event, like, there's a part where, like, the Millennium Falcon comes and flies, and there's Star Destroyers, and you can grab, you know, you can fight a lightsaber duel, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The end of that, there is a speech from Palpatine that broadcasts throughout the world of Fortnite.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah. So, the dead speak,
yeah,
exclamation point, the first sentence in the opening
crawl.
Refers to a Fortnite event.
Well, I mean,
it's a promotional aspect of it. But it's an in-world.
No, it doesn't refer to the Fortnite event.
But
the Fortnite event is not in the Star Wars universe. It refers to the broadcast into the Star Wars universe of Palpatine.
Yeah.
That's what it refers
plays
to.
Plays during this Fortnite event.
No, but it's not in the fucking Fortnite
universe. Dude, it was so wild to hear this thing in game, and then that's the first sentence.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
it's
no.
So opening crawl, Palpatine.
I mean, it's all marketing.
It is all marketing.
There's a suggestion that Palpatine is speaking to the universe, and everybody's like afraid, and like Kylo Ren is pissed off because he's a threat to his power,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm a supreme leader.
So there's a little bit of a MacGuffin of Kylo Ren like chasing down this wayfinder.
Sith Wayfinder. Kind of Sith tech that can lead him to Palpatine,
which he finds him early on, and then Palpatine convinces Kylo Ren. Here's this
pretty good OPSEC.
Yeah, here's this.
There's only two in the universe in the galaxy,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
To get you there,
yeah. Interesting.
Anyway, yes, it's a total MacGuffin.
Total MacGuffin. Yeah, total MacGuffin.
I want more Star Wars movies about the ancient archaeology of the universe. Galaxy. I want more of that. Every time I see that stuff.
The Sith Temple stuff and the random little Sith planet, which is hidden, is pretty cool.
It is cool.
It looked very interesting,
in these old, because there is a Jedi planet
that's
been ravaged and you know, taken over, and even in Rogue One, that city
destroyed.
Jedi is destroyed.
Yeah. Yep.
But you would imagine there is a Sith planet, which is very interesting.
Shrouded in mystery. Nobody knows sort of the origin and blah blah blah. And there's a reason for that.
Exactly.
And I think all that is consistent and accurate.
So the big plot is the Emperor has this Sith-like fleet that he's offering to Kylo.
Clearly been in the shadows.
If he brings Rey to him, that he will let him have this fleet.
He will let him lead the new Sith Empire.
You learn later in the movie that every one of those ships has a planet killer cannon,
which is crazy.
Death Star tech.
Crazy.
It's just so every single every single ship has the ability to destroy entire worlds.
Which
so it's a rehash,
yes,
but also an evolution.
Yeah,
it is.
Right.
Which I, you know, Star Wars is nothing but sort of recurring themes,
this
right?
This technology is just like running around, which is kind of interesting, and it's been years later, so it's not out of the realm. I accepted that part of it, I guess.
When you kind of twist your thinking, Star Wars really isn't science fiction.
Yeah.
It's space fantasy.
Space fantasy.
Just like the trope we established.
Knights, republics, emperors.
But a deep, deep,
force,
deep,
like magic.
Lore, deep lore yeah, system. Yeah. Like this galaxy, yeah, yeah. There is 25,000 years yeah. of history
yeah, yeah.
in this galaxy,
totally.
Which, well, you know, empires rise and fall. There's ruins of previous civilizations.
Well, there's old, right, there's old, right. there's like the Jedi and the Sith were around a long time ago, and then they were killed off. Like the Sith were killed off, and then the Jedi prospered, and then the Jedi were killed off.
There's
hundreds of years
of conflict between the Jedi and the Sith and other factions. So the fact that Star Wars, I mean, this movie I think especially embraces the space fantasy aspect because it's a quest movie too.
It's a quest movie.
It's got the tropiness of a quest movie. They're acquiring talismans. They're acquiring maps
that leads them to
the final confrontation.
The hidden temple, the next clue to lead them to the next thing,
and then that, and they get there, so, and then there's reveal about X, Y, and Z.
I have to say, like, there's already like some divisiveness over the internet about this movie and this film, and like, have you guys been reading any of this? What do you guys feel about?
I'm at the movie? Point. Like, I'm at.
Did you let's talk about how we feel about?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
I'm to touch on your question first of all.
Yeah.
I'm at a point in my fandom of Star Wars where I try not to listen to anyone else's opinion.
Yeah.
The people in this room are the ones that I listen to.
Sure.
Because you're my brothers, and I know where you're coming from. I try not to listen to any other person's opinion. I've avoided things on the internet, any kind of discussion about this movie, because the only opinions that matter are mine and the people in this
room. I've read two reviews.
Okay.
Yep.
And were they good or bad?
One was good, the other was bad.
Okay, and do you agree with their criticism or their likes?
Totally disagree with the bad review.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So you liked the film?
I loved it.
You loved it?
Yeah.
See,
I'm okay.
Yeah, go.
Check the box for me syndrome.
Now, here we go. Here
I was
go.
7 years
here,
old.
I'm going to start a timer.
You ready? Start the timer.
Let's go.
No, I promise I will not syndrome.
Roll.
This is the culmination of 42 years of my life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So my life has been very much defined by Star Wars fandom, right? Because I went to the original in theaters when I was 7.
Yep. This is in Aberdeen or
this
Yankton?
Is in Pierre, South
Pierre,
Dakota.
South Dakota, yeah.
So it is... And so I come at it from the perspective of I love the universe, I love the characters, I love the storytelling, I love the tech, I love the sounds, I love all of it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I will forever be a fan. So that being and so I'm clearly drinking gallons of Kool-Aid with regard to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been very clear in my... disdain for the prequels, right?
Oh, yeah.
There are parts of it. On rewatch, I have to say that I like more of them than I did before, but I still have major issues with those first three movies.
Mm-hmm. Episodes one, two, and three. Yeah.
But this movie, I love the adventure of it. I love the fact that the team was together. I love the MacGuffin of it. I love the... Let's go on a quest, find some clues that reveal things about the characters in a slow sort of way, but in punctuated moments.
Mm-hmm.
The lightsaber battles, the use of the powers is badass.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, I enjoyed all of it.
And there's a little bit of a, we're going on a quest, but we're getting chased at the same time too, because while Rey and
the weakest part of the movie for me.
Oh, really?
The chase.
Well, I actually thought that was kind of fun. Like the constant, like, because it's you know, Rey, Poe and Finn go and you know, R2 and BB-8 and Chewbacca going on a quest together to find, which is fun in itself, but then, you know, Kylo Ren chasing them down the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Star Wars. Star Wars is adventure. Star Wars is You go on a quest. There's knights. There's things you're looking for. There's magic. There's crazy.
I think by saying that, you kind of have hit the nail on the head in terms of why the prequels felt so dissatisfying. Because there was very little
adventure.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the Trade Federation.
Really? I mean. Yeah. So. Yeah. I'll be completely honest.
And politics. We're going to the Senate to hear politics.
Right. Yeah. Ugh. My reaction to this film was almost immediate. It was mixed. I love how it ends and how it wraps up.
Yeah.
I think the Rey's triumphant moment and where she ends up is satisfying and to the point of almost being like miraculous in how it kind of feels. Mm-hmm. She feels so empowered and she feels so complete in herself.
Yeah.
And you are so almost proud of her that you went on this journey with her and she got to this place where she is who she is and she's decided for herself.
Uh-huh.
The course they took to get there, I think, was as overwrought and baroque as you could possibly make for a Star Wars movie. This felt like three movies in one for me in terms of everything they were trying to cram in.
It really doesn't stop.
I don't have the propulsive nature of how fast it moves and all that. It was fun. It was an adventure.
This thing leads to this thing that leads to this thing that leads to this thing. And that's very much like...
It felt a tiny bit overstuffed for me. I think they could have done with it, you know, take one or two little details out that they really, you know, they really pushed on hard as like, this is a huge revelation.
Yeah.
Did they... I don't know.
I agree with there was a lot. I don't think... I would disagree with the use of the term baroque.
Okay.
Because I don't think it was that complex.
Okay.
I think it was... They were trying to... Abrams was clearly trying to get a lot in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to give character development to a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And try to wrap up things for everybody. And there's so many characters in this that I feel like they need...
It's an impossible...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Close to impossible task.
Yeah.
And he's confronting the... How do we wrap up this arc?
Yeah.
Right?
And in they're trying
a satisfying
to wrap up,
way.
And they're trying to wrap up Leia's arc. They're trying to wrap up Finn's arc. They're trying to wrap up... they're trying to answer questions about Poe Dameron, which we didn't need to know. We're trying to wrap up...
Yeah, Poe's whole subplot with that bounty hunter with
was
the awesome...
a great character.
A fantastic character.
Yeah, I wanted to know more. I want a whole movie about that.
Could the two of them have their own movie just
they
kick
really,
ass?
They really need to do that.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
I would watch
Poe
that.
Poe Dameron, a Star Wars story
Hell
where he's a smuggler and he gets himself...
Sure.
I mean, making him into the reformed Han Solo that they were really trying to pushed hard on
they
that.
Pushed hard way
give
too
me,
much
give that
way too much Han
give
Solo.
That its whole movie
yeah.
give
bit.
It its whole movie
yeah,
and I will
bit.
Pay money to see
bit.
That 100% Oscar Isaac I would watch him all day long
oh, yeah.
and Kerry Russell as that as the bounty hunter that he has the history with I am all about those two
yeah right
shoehorning that into this movie
yeah kind of it was fun but
it's
you
a
didn't
credit
need it.
To
yeah.
how much Star Wars fans love these characters is how much J.J. Abrams tried to cram
into
this.
He was trying
this.
To give them flavor.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the point, is that he was responding to criticisms about one-note Finn, right? One-note Poe, all of that. And so he was going for exactly in response to those shortcomings of the previous two, which is rehashing a bunch of big plot themes.
Mm-hmm.
And one-note characters. And so I give him all the credit in the world artistically about trying to do that.
Right.
And the criticism of shoehorning that in is a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
It's the movie's 3 hours long.
Yeah.
If you give them a real like explanation
of every single
character.
What was the runtime on this one?
220.
It didn't feel long.
No.
It didn't feel long.
But 222.
There was a lot. There's a lot there, but it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop.
How overstuffed the film feels in a lot of ways is the fact that I think we would love a Poe Dameron movie with the bounty hunter character, which I can't remember her name because I may only say it once. And then even the story with Finn when they encounter that company of stolen children who were, you know, escaped stormtroopers, that could be its own movie itself.
Well, Hannah even said to me at the end of the film,
she
was like, are we going to go find out about that random stormtrooper woman and Lando?
Yeah.
Like old Lando? Or, because at the end of the movie, he's like, I don't know where I come from. And he goes, we're going to find out.
Exactly. I think they're setting the stage for more movies in the universe, which is fine.
And they announced this week before the movie came out, Kathleen Kennedy came out that they're going to do, and we were even talking about this when the announcement came out, that they're not going to do more of a three movie structure, a trilogy anymore.
They're going to get away from that.
And
Zori Bliss. Okay, yeah, Zori, we looked up the storm.
And that's
the bounty.
Carrie Russell's character, Russell, Zori Bliss. Like,
she never takes her helmet.
J.J. Abrams like loves this actress.
He has a few actors that appear in almost every project.
Yeah, yeah. Even Donna McMonaghan is in it for a second. And yeah,
and I got actually that was my most disappointing.
Why?
Moment.
Oh, why? You didn't need to see him?
That is shoehorning somebody.
That's
shoehorning. I mean, it's like...
Straight
like,
up. We're going to throw Dominic Monaghan a few days worth of work.
Can I be in this? Well, yeah. Sure. We're going to throw you
8 days worth of work.
Well, I understand if you're going to come in and play an alien.
Right.
But, dude, you're a hobbit.
You're a resistance fighter, and you have like 10 lines
in
the whole movie.
You're a hobbit.
And
I don't need to see you in the movie.
When Leia dies, he's standing right next to her bed.
Like, he's the most important person in the world.
I don't know.
You were
honestly,
just,
that was my most disappointment in this movie was him in the movie.
Yeah,
it's like
he didn't need to be in there.
Absolutely not.
Well, I mean, okay.
Okay, let's really dive into some spoilers and talk about how we feel about them.
Okay, because the resolution is the Emperor is alive. But he's kind of like a zombie person.
He's a clone, or some kind of random Sith tech zombie.
No, I think he's a zombie because his hands Sith are tech. Decayed. He's dead, but the machines are keeping him like he's alive.
I agree with that because we learn is that at the end of Return of the Jedi, when he is tossed into that shaft.
He dies, but like they find his body.
The suggestion at the end is that he's vaporized. I mean, that was the impression. There is an explosion of light and
dark side energy.
Whatever it was he interacted with at the bottom of that shaft.
When I saw it when I was a kid, it seemed like it was like him being burnt up by some Death Star reactor.
So,
you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Palpatine exists in some kind of dark side Sith zombie contraption.
With this giant crane thing.
He is clearly connected to technology.
Yeah, to keeping him alive.
But his brain, I mean, his brain is like, it is Palpatine.
Yeah.
It is not a facsimile of Palpatine.
It is. He has all of his experiences, all of his memories.
Right.
And he's been manipulating things. We find out that Snoke is a creation of Palpatine.
Yes. Which I think is interesting. I'm glad they gave him just even the smallest answer of what Snoke was, because like everybody who has the Force ability in this universe, you've gotten an answer of where they come from and why. Like, and to have Snoke have no answer kind of bothered me.
But that's bullshit, dude. Obi-Wan Kenobi doesn't have a backstory. He's just a Jedi, and he's a badass, and we accept it.
No, I know everything about Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like,
where was he born?
Well, okay, I don't.
Exactly. You don't.
You don't know his total backstory.
No, but like, right? But like, you know that like Obi-Wan Kenobi's like trained by Qui-Gon Jinn, and then he
was an adult. Qui-Gon Jinn didn't train him from youngling. Yeah. Come on, you're overgeneralizing.
It gives him some kind of like. Where's this guy coming from and what's
fanboys need for answers is the most infuriating bullshit of the fandom right now.
I don't need that much answers, but I would like something about why is this dude scarred up? Why is he in charge of the First Order? We get that answer. We get all that stuff. Where's he
coming from? Palpatine didn't have a name in the first trilogy. And were people throwing their hands up? He's like, he doesn't appear on screen till the third movie. It is such a bullshit criticism. Everybody needs to be fleshed out. There's plot holes. We don't know his name.
He's in Empire Strikes Back and...
He appears as a hologram. He doesn't even have a name, dude. We don't know what home planet he's from.
We don't
even know why he can shoot lightning out of his hand.
I'm allowed to want things.
He is allowed.
anyways.
But as a criticism for like the quality of the film,
it's horseshit. Here's what I said to Hannah before I walked into the movie. I wanted answers for Snoke. because I wanted to know, like, what the hell is the answer? Where did this come from? And I wanted to know who the Knights of Ren were, or at least, like...
See, I didn't care about any of that.
What they were and what... I wanted to know more about Rey's parents. And I got all those answers because guess what? Rey's a Palpatine.
Well, and we got it.
What do you think of that? What do you think Rey being a Palpatine?
Palpatine had a wife and that had a son. Yeah, that's a little. All of a sudden, there's a granddaughter. That's shoehorned in bullshit.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
There's a little bit of that.
How Rey's story resolves, and I love that she's as self-determined a person as you could possibly have in this type of structure with this universe.
Are you okay? Were you okay? Like, I mean, they're basically trying to. Fix the thing. I know that's the question, the best choice Ryan Johnson
made in The Last Jedi was making Rey from nowhere.
You think that
is
you
my
like,
totally
like,
favorite choice?
Totally I totally agree with that.
You don't like that
the fact that they unraveled that infuriates me.
I wasn't infuriated, but I shook my head at the notion these folks feel compelled to fit it into the people that we've already seen and the bloodline bullshit and all of that. I'm bummed out that they feel like they need to do that where storytelling wise they don't need to do that. Ryan Johnson's movie, I love The Last Jedi for exactly the opposite point, which is that there is other people who are able to be heroes in this world. We're telling the Skywalker story and the people connected around these fulcrums of destiny. Mm-hmm. But guess what? It doesn't have to be that way. And Rey's story can be a random person who's just sold.
Exactly. I don't feel that Rey's story is any bigger or smaller because she's a Palpatine. I love how they resolve her story. I think they could have had.
Yeah, I agree.
They've gotten how her taking the name Skywalker and her essentially adopting Luke and Leia as her surrogate parents and her making that decision for herself and having that be a moment of agency for her is fantastic.
100%.
Well, because
I totally agree with
that. The last shot is she goes to Tatooine with BB-8. Yep. And
she buries their lightsabers on
Tatooine. She buries the lightsabers.
Even though Leia has no tie to Tatooine, but it's okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's
she doesn't. She never even went there. No, she went there in the Return of the Jedi as a bounty hunter in disguise.
She did.
She never trained there. She didn't grow up there.
Deep cut Andrew over here.
I'm deep cut. The image we have of Luke Skywalker is Tatooine of the twin sons and that moisture farm.
Yeah.
And I love that it ends there, and I love that she has adopted that.
Can I do the smallest criticism about this is sort of like a weird thing, and you guys are probably gonna give me shit about this, but I just rewatched all of the films leading up to this. I watched one movie every day. I did the same thing. Right. And something about the original series that I never really picked up on, but is they're always fighting with some kind of creature of the universe. There are rancors and asteroid monsters and sarlacc pits. And I have to say, like, that's something this trilogy is really lacking. A lot of not as much creatures or the universe is trying to kill them. The Mandalorian has a lot of this. And he's always fighting creatures in every episode. True. It's something kind of like jarring about and the Wampa and the
oh yeah,
like,
in Empire Strikes
there's
back,
just
yeah.
so many like and there's a giant fish that tries to eat R2. Like there's literally 10 things the universe is trying to kill you just as much as the Empire is trying to kill
wild
you.
Things
yes
for sure, for
and
sure.
And there's something about this universe that the Rey universe that is so like. Where are all the creatures? I mean, there's that big snake that she heals, heals,
and we're drinking blue milk from the teats of the creature
from the weird whale thing, the weird Luke milking fish dude. Okay, so we've talked a lot about Rey and her. How her triumph
and that look when he's drinking that milk.
It's like I am trying to be as off-putting as I can right now.
And the cow thing looks at Rey and she can't even.
She's just like, I am intruding on something very personal.
This is really awkward.
It's really awkward.
This is really
that
awkward.
Is a perfect moment perfect of awkwardness. Moment. It's like, oh my God, what am I witnessing?
I will speak it, piggybacking on that. How
so I totally agree with you. There's far less fighting of monsters and much more like healthy interaction.
Yeah.
Or maybe right. not healthy maybe. With Luke with on Luke. That island. Yeah, yeah.
Inappropriate yeah. touching.
Yeah, so we talked a lot about Rey.
Yeah.
And how she gets to where she's going and where she ends up. What do we think about Kylo Ren and where he ends up?
Oh, like, I mean, I'm okay with his redemption. I mean, it's a tough sell because we saw him do some horrific things.
Uh-huh.
And he's kind of an asshole for two and a half movies. But the lightsaber fight on the water thing and
on the remnants of the Death Star was incredible.
That fight was that's like
next level
top great top well, three fights ever, I think, in a Star Wars movie.
My response
honestly.
To that is that we saw Darth Vader be an asshole for
true.
Two movies
true.
And not, point nine.
Two yeah, yeah, yeah no.
He's
true.
Redeemed in the last 10 minutes.
I agree, really I agree.
So no, I'm no. okay with that arc.
Were you I mean, I was okay with his arc too, and I love seeing Han Solo it's fine.
Yeah.
I love seeing Han Solo for that like moment.
Yeah, that was cool.
When
that
he has
cool.
to like decide to throw his lightsaber into the I'm having
and I love the recurrence of the language that he used on the in
yes.
the confrontation.
Yeah, it, yes,
it was they reused that language. It was not, so nice.
It's not a
it's
force.
Subtle.
Han Solo is not a force ghost. That
no.
is a memory.
Memory yeah.
That's just
and
him
is,
remembering.
That is him experiencing that trauma and trying to work through it.
You know, I never really thought of this either. And you know, this is a credit to my girlfriend being super smart. Is there so much like Oedipus stuff about killing your father through Star Wars?
Yeah, dude, that's
like,
Joseph Campbell.
Yeah,
way back when.
Whole, oh, yeah.
That's, yeah.
For the hero to become
like,
himself.
Hero right. with a thousand faces.
Yeah. And, for the hero right. to become his full self, he has
totally.
To eliminate his father. Yeah.
And sort of like, you know, him killing his father, he thinks is going to be like this great resolution. Ben Solo killing Han Solo is this great realization to his character and where his characters could go, but he's living with this guilt for two and a half
never
the
goes
torment.
Away.
Right, and then
that's the short-sighted nature.
I felt
of the,
like
of
that was
dark
done
yeah, exactly.
very well. Is and you start to realize, like, oh, okay, like I accepted his resolution. I'm glad that he died. I'm not necessarily happy he turned into a force ghost.
It would have felt but, much cheaper and much less earned if he had survived. I
yeah,
think there was only one resolution is that
he
had to die.
He had
a
to
sacrifice.
Die.
He transferred Leia's life force
yep.
that he had received from Leia
yep.
and transferred it into Rey. And I love that image.
Yeah.
I love that. Narrative that narrative choice,
mm-hmm.
I think it felt right to me.
Mm-hmm.
I got excited because I was like, oh my God, they are going to be together.
Yeah.
I had that reaction when they're in that final moment and she gives him the kiss, and I'm like, oh my God, this is like totally different than what I thought. They are going to both survive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nope. And be together. How that's mm-hmm. that was bonkers. My initial reaction was, oh, this is awesome. This is a totally different ending
yeah.
than what I had predicted. And then sort of the I understand the choice. I think I would have actually really liked if he had survived.
Right.
And the redemption, they would have gotten to live a life.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing is like him
I would have liked that.
Him yeah. living would have been like could he have been accepted for all the murder and mayhem that he had caused? Like wouldn't he just be thrown in Republic jail kind of a thing or Resistance jail, you know? I don't know if he could have lived a life as you're saying. Like,
no, I think you're right. That's
like,
a good point.
Like he would have.
The world is a real fleshed out world.
Yeah.
There's no way a war criminal like him
yeah.
can live.
No, he's done too much. He's done
yeah.
too much to not
no,
be held accountable.
That's a very
his,
good point.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean it would have. I think I
was caught up in the emotion.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I can
no,
agree.
No,
like,
I,
oh my God, this is awesome.
100% agree with you.
The moment of their love and affection
yeah.
is very satisfying.
Yeah,
but I completely understand the idea that there's really no way he could have have lived beyond that moment.
Yeah, it's real consequences for sacrifice, right? And I like that aspect of a lot of it has been missing. Mm-hmm. But also, it's been there for all the Star Wars movies. There is sacrifice built into sort of maintaining the balance, right? Conceptually, it works.
Yep. What else can I...
You said something about the lightsaber battle in the water.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My God, what a
incredible! The waves are crashing.
Awesome,
incredible action.
Star Wars moment.
And they're just
awesome
leaping,
Star Wars
leaping
moment.
Leaping across the pillars and the
badass.
Waves are coming.
It was badass.
And
incredible.
And it just
great,
looks
just
so
a great
good.
Choreographed fight.
Yeah, yeah.
I just loved it.
And that's something that's really good about these is the lightsaber fights at the end of each movie have been
really
good.
It's almost like because Rey and Kylo encounter each other so many times through their force connection, and they have so many of those odd but working, you know, battles through their force connection where they're actually having a lightsaber fight in two different locations.
Oh, that
was
interesting.
Through experiencing their connection, it's like they have one long, you know, lightsaber battle through the entire film. It's just spaced out in different locations because they encounter each other so much through their force connection.
What do you think about Rey using force lightning?
I was shocked by it. Thinking back on it again,
yeah.
I mean, it's a image that they put into the story to let us know that, yes, she has that dark side.
Yeah.
That she can immediately access the dark side, mm-hmm. which Luke even alludes to in The Last Jedi when they're on the island and she immediately goes for
you
the
went
dark
immediately
place.
Immediately to the darkness.
Mark, immediately to the dark. Yep. So, the narrative thread is there for it to make sense. It was a jarring moment because I'm just like...
Yeah.
Because that's like the ultimate expression of being a Sith is you can summon force lightning.
Yeah.
Like that's your most aggressive ability.
It's sort of like, and you only see Sith use it, and it's sort of like this push because you only see Sith use it except for Yoda, who's able to like channel it and pop it back at Dooku.
If you think about it, it's the most Sith ability because it's so immediately destructive.
It's so violent.
Yep.
If you're
and
doing
chaos.
It,
exactly.
It's rooted in you can't really.
Right.
I mean, you can direct it,
right?
But it's not really.
It's just like power.
It's not a beam. It's not a beam.
Yeah.
You're just. I'm going to cause destruction.
It's not a coherent laser.
I'm blasting the room with force lightning.
Yeah. So it's the epitome. Of the expression of dark side power.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting, and especially like when she's trying to grab that ship and she's pushing herself so hard that like she's able to go there, which is, and then she blows up that ship that you think is Chewbacca. They should have just killed Chewbacca in that moment, I think.
I agree.
I would have been.
I think they were afraid. I will say this is like, this thing's pretty safe. Like
even Threepio gets his memory back.
Yeah.
Even Threepio gets his memory back.
Yes.
Very safe. Like,
very
like,
safe.
That
whole sequence, I just loved all
of
that.
So,
like, he had to translate and lose his memory, and that little dude
droid.
What's his name again?
Yeah.
But I forget.
There's all these little Star Wars characters with funny little names.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about The Last Jedi is it pushed buttons and it pissed a lot of fans off, whether they're right or wrong. That's up to them. But there's a very, like...
A lot of them are wrong.
There's a lot of, like... It split the universe. And this one feels very safe because they were trying to... And they tried to redact a few of the things that...
They tried to rework a few of the choices or give them more context.
To
make
save it a little bit.
A little bit, which... infuriated me even more because I love The Last Jedi and I'm pretty at peace with a lot of the choices the narrative made.
Well, yeah, because I mean there are a few things they really tried to fix from the negative press that they got about this, and I mean there's still negative press about this, but I feel like the fan reviews are
overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot
of it's just fun. Everybody needs to chill out.
I agree. It's Star Wars. It's fun. Either you love it or you don't.
Yeah.
Either you're a fanboy or you're not. Clearly, we are. And I mean, even Rian Johnson has said it through multiple years. He said, you know what? the vast majority of encounters I have with fans are positive.
Right.
I mean, there's a very vocal minority that is angry about The Last Jedi, but there's going to be a vocal minority about a lot of Star Wars movies just because people are so passionate about it. People love it so much. Everyone has their favorite character, and that's why they can't bring themselves to kill Chewbacca. Because there are people who identify Chewbacca is their very favorite part of Star Wars.
Totally.
And they would have immediately... But abandoned the movie.
But it's like
Chewbacca had stayed dead.
They killed Luke. They killed Leia. They killed Han. Chewbacca lives. Like,
eliminating the big three is those are story choices.
Sure,
they made those so other characters can evolve.
What? Okay, so go ahead, brother. What's your thought?
I was gonna say that going back to the point about it being a safe movie, it is a very safe movie, right? And so, but I also, I appreciate Star Wars for what it is and the universe for what it is.
Right.
It made me feel, this movie made me feel all the things that I wanted to feel in a wrap up.
Hey, it just, and I was laughing.
Exactly.
Yep. And
I cried multiple times.
The joyful tears.
The script
in my eyes.
Exactly. The script is fun. The chases are fun. The lightsabers are fun.
Lightsaber fights are cool. And I will credit Ashton actually brought this to my attention. And we talk about playing it safe. And one of the main criticisms we had of the Force Awakens is how safe it felt.
Yeah.
We wanted there to be, you know. Maybe they pushed the envelope. You know, we mentioned the gray Jedi multiple times.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice? I mean, and Ashton noticed it, and I noticed it too. And she made the leap at the end when Rey buries the legacy lightsabers that she used to defeat the Emperor. Her and Kylo used to defeat the dark side in that dark side temple. She has her own new lightsaber, and the blade is yellow.
Yeah, I noticed.
It's totally not in the vein.
I don't know how much lore this is
anymore.
And
it's a black
unit. Hilt. It's like derivative. Yeah. It like looks like her staff. Yeah. Like it's constructed from similar.
It looks
materials.
Like it's double bladed too.
And then she has a yellow blade. So that it does not track.
I wanted them to light too because she's always using a staff. It makes sense
that's
for her to have
that's
a double
her, like,
bladed
weapon.
It looked like it was too.
Why wouldn't she have the? Yeah, why wouldn't she have a double blade lightsaber?
I like the image of a yellow blade that so it doesn't adhere to the green and blue archetype we've expected from Jedi Knight and
or red. Yeah,
exactly.
Something
different.
Yep.
From the prequels, one of the masters who gets shot out of the plane in Order 66, who has like this weird mask and he's got like weird tendrils coming out.
He has a yellow blade.
One of the Star Wars video games, you can play as him and he's the only yellow lightsaber.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not atypical for the Skywalkers.
Mainline stuff.
Skywalkers have green or blue, the dark side have red.
I kind of wanted her to have a blue one or a green one in this one. I don't. That's something about this movie that I was confused by, and it's a small confusion because it's like, okay, they just fixed it. But Ben and her rip Luke's lightsaber in half, so I was like, where's she going to get another lightsaber? And I was hoping there would be like she goes and finds her own crystal, and it would be a green or a different color, and then... Like that's part of the movie is her hunting down.
Yeah,
it could. Yeah, no,
like her own. She has to go to Jeddah and find her own kyber crystal.
I didn't bump on that honestly.
Yeah,
and it's even like the Return of the Jedi. Like all of a sudden, Rey.
Luke has
a green bladed lightsaber. Like they don't
he
even
just
let
makes
him.
His own.
There's a deleted scene where he built it. I'm like,
and then the fanboys
throw themselves in the air about how does he have a lightsaber? Why didn't anyway?
Well, it's just a thing that Vader says. It's just like, oh, you constructed your own lightsaber.
I just love. I loved the sequence where we got a flash. Flashback to Leia training.
Yes!
How cool was that?
Yeah, that was awesome.
I just loved that. I just loved the callback to... Yeah. Of course she did that. Of course she trained.
I love the idea that he trains her and she decides to not go with it.
Right.
She decides to stop.
Yeah, right.
And give it up and she hides her lightsaber... Because
I think that was great.
I think that's a great decision.
And then she
doesn't want to be a Jedi.
On a purely technical kind of like geeky, I think that
that's a big FU to the people who are freaking out about her being blasted into space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not able to get back.
She was trained as a Jedi. Right.
Absolutely trained. Of course she was trained as a Jedi.
Well, she starts to get the glimmer of Force powers at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Of course she was.
It's been like 40 years.
I think that was an Abrams FU to the.
Of course she would have been trained.
Of course she would have been trained.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
One of the Yoda says, pass on what you've learned. And his sister is there and she's a Force user.
Right.
Can we, on a technical aspect, the repurposed Carrie Fisher footage looked incredible.
It looked awesome. I was just going to say, amazing.
Like, do we know...
I didn't have any moment
like
that.
Absolutely. Where if she shot any part
zero,
of
the... She shot zero footage
so
for
that's
Rise
all,
of Skywalker.
Like,
it's all repurposed footage from The Force Awakens.
That's incredible.
That is amazing. Because it's seamless. I mean, 100% seamless.
I was even looking... Everybody's looking. Hannah even said to me, she's like, did she shoot any of that?
Wow. She didn't shoot any.
The technology has come
that
far.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I mean, I feel like the overwhelming like gist is we really like this movie.
Really like
it. I'm going to
see it again.
Multiple times.
Yep.
And I mean,
I will say when I left the theater, I had mixed feelings and I was like, I should see it again. Either it'll improve my opinion of it, or maybe it'll help me understand it better.
Yeah,
I think after a day or so, I've come to a better feeling about the movie than I did when I walked out of the theater.
Yeah, well, and I feel like that's sort of like what you're feeling is, and this is a lot. This is tough for a lot of people to get over. And is you have expectations,
of course,
and when they don't meet your expectations or they do a different thing in your head. Especially Star Wars. There's so many people who have tons of childhood expectations about this movie.
The first thing I ever remember wanting to be was a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The first thing I ever remember wanted to be was a Jedi.
Yeah.
So, and now the Skywalker saga is complete.
Sure is.
Well, on that note, I mean, I'm going to write something that is 7 years, when I'm 7 years old to 49, I'm going to write an essay about Star Wars. It'll be on the website.
I want to read
that. And this will be an ongoing conversation. It really should be for us as brothers in terms of discussion.
Because Star Wars is not over. I mean, I was just say like
it's way too valuable a property.
Next episode,
way too valuable.
Exactly. And next week is the final episode of Mandalorian. And I feel like next episode we should definitely talk about Mandalorian.
We'll go
like
full season.
Well, we should do another pull through once we've all seen it multiple times again. At least the second time, Rise of Skywalker.
I mean, we're all seeing it again.
We should have another discussion about it. This is a one shot today, but. Yeah. This will be an ongoing conversation,
right?
Because we will ruminate and sort of marinate on it, I think.
Well, I mean, Patrick and I saw it together on Thursday. You went with Kristen or Kira?
Both.
Okay, good.
Friday morning.
Andrew.
I have some trivia.
Do you use a Star Wars trivia?
Yes, it is.
Woo!
Oh, very, very nice.
Oh, good. So I can feel someone.
People are blowing me up.
Yeah. All right.
It is... Skywalker saga themed trivia.
Okay, here we go.
Within 30 minutes, total runtime for the 9 films of the Skywalker saga.
9?
100 minutes.
They're all about...
Total runtime for 9 films.
They're all about 2 hours and 15 minutes.
I
feel like that's the average.
Not counting Rogue One, not counting Solo, because they're not part of the Skywalker saga.
Okay, so Skywalker saga. So 9 times 60, or 9 times 85, really. That's
9 times 120, buddy.
Sorry, 135.
That'll be like your average.
That's my average, so hold on. Let me do some math real quick. I'm gonna write this down.
They're breaking out their calculators to the multiplication in their heads.
It has to be in minutes?
Minutes or just, give me as close as you can to minutes, or you can even do the division into...
1,320 minutes.
Okay, hold on.
22 hours is my guess.
Okay. Patrick?
Hold on.
Patrick's doing it longhand.
1,125 minutes.
Per the math that I did myself earlier today.
Oh, God. And that's not trustworthy at all.
1,239 minutes.
Oh, I'm like 100 minutes.
Who was closer?
20.6.
Who was closer?
Chris
I was closer.
Damn it. Good job, Chris.
1,200
minutes. 1,200
minutes.
I was almost within 100
minutes.
Nice. That's
over 20 hours.
Over
the Skywars, we have 20 hours of the Skywars.
Well, and
saga.
Then I watched all 10 movies leading up to this one, including Han Solo and Rogue One.
I did that too.
Go watch Rogue One again. That movie's so effing good.
That movie is phenomenal.
Phenomenally good.
I mean,
phenomenal.
That's
movie.
The best. I feel like of the newer ones since Disney took over. Rogue One is still the best.
Easily the best.
Of those,
easily the
of
best.
The I'm going to go three
Last
Star
Jedi
Wars.
Is the best, but okay.
No, I would watch Rogue One
Rogue
over
One
Last
is
Jedi.
The, is
it's
slightly
so
better
perfect.
Than Last Jedi.
God, it's so fun.
Last Jedi is great. That yeah. On rewatch, man, the choices that are made in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about this.
We have.
I absolutely loved where that was going.
Yep. Yeah.
I just, that movie is brilliant in its reexamination of the Jedi Order and the religion and the perception. But again, I'm struck by the idea, which I think Abrams gets and which I think they get right in Rise of Skywalker, is all of that stuff was driven by Luke's fear.
Yeah.
So it's not. It was Luke's perspective. He was hiding.
Yeah.
He was making the wrong choice. He should not have disengaged from people.
Yeah.
He chose to disengage with. That message is reinforced over and over again in the Star Wars universe that we succeed together.
Yep.
We don't do it by ourselves.
Oh, wow. That's
I forgot
that's,
that line
so
completely until
Poe's
you just said that.
Entire arc.
Absolutely.
That's Poe's arc. It's even in. He's like, we got to just blow up this thing. And then he realizes by the end of the thing, he's.
Such
that,
a
that
mistake.
We got to work together.
Yes.
Yeah, we have to.
Yes. Yeah. And so that. The filter through which people really should look at Last Jedi is a lot of interesting ideas about the examination of the Jedi and their view of the Force, and all of that stuff is real and legitimate and great. But there's also the idea that it was a mistake for Luke.
Yep.
Yeah. It was a mistake to run.
And he even gets there.
It was
by
a
the
mistake
end.
To
he
be
understands.
Isolated. Exactly.
Yep.
He has that arc in that movie.
Yeah.
So the main complexities of Last Jedi, Luke has the revelation that that's a mistake.
Yep.
Yeah.
And people are just don't just forget that in the examination of that movie.
We said it.
And it's such a genius take on it.
We all wanted the superhero Luke, and when we didn't get it,
right.
We just people shut down about
it. He's human, and he was afraid, and he had failed multiple times, and that weighed on him, and he got it wrong.
Yep.
And that is so great to have that be part of your hero journey
absolutely
is you got it wrong.
Yeah,
I just love that about it. I loved it.
Well, I mean, the people who love who hate The Last Jedi, they are wrong. They are wrong. That's
and that's
it.
Okay. That's part of the human journey.
That's
to be wrong.
You're okay. We don't care that you're wrong because we're right. Thanks for listening. if you'd like to email Andrew about his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com.
We want to hear your opinions about the Skywalker saga. Tweet us,
yes,
email
please.
Us.
You should email the podcast at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com.
Go to our website, follow us on social media because link to my essay will be up
Twitter
when
is
I finish it.
Brothers_geek at twitter.com and then brothersgeek.com and brothersgeekpodcast on Facebook. Thanks for listening, everybody. You guys have nothing to sign off with, like not a Han Chop.
I want no. I was trying to think of
a
good Rey
sign off.
Rey Skywalker is awesome.
Rey Skywalker is awesome.